You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Hi there, I'm Dean Olscher, filling in for Leonard today. Memory is word association in a way. You know, if someone mentions the geodesic dome, your mind just clicks into place and says, oh yes, I know that connection. It was invented by Buckminster Fuller. Except the thing is, the more you learn about him, you find that there are all kinds of reasons for you to think about him every day, and we don't. Although we might know because of this exhibition that's now going on at the Whitney Museum, which shows exactly how he had his fingers in everything that we're talking about today. Buckminster Fuller, Starting with the Universe, is the name of the show. The co-curators Dana Miller and Michael Hayes are here now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so why Buckminster Fuller and why now? I'll start with you, Dana.
Well, I think you actually articulated that very well, because he had his fingers in so many different disciplines and areas of study, and so many of those areas are becoming important today, increasingly important today. He was so interested in resource allocation and resource efficiency and the sort of larger issues of working architecturally in a design field within a closed system, and trying to do the most good for the largest number of people using the fewest resources. And those are the issues that have become so important in the last five years or so.
Marshall McLuhan called him the Leonardo da Vinci of the 20th century. Michael Hayes, what are the different things that he did? What made him like Leonardo?
He worked with everything from designing a car that was a kind of ecologically conscious, streamlined, highly energy efficient automobile, to envisioning entire cities that would float above the earth, float in oceans, because he was aware that we were running out of land as well as resources on the earth. So he really designed for what we now think of as a global society well before globalization was a concept.
He did everything. He had so many disciplines at his disposal. He never finished school. He was kicked out of Harvard twice. Mm-hmm. So he was essentially a dilettante, but we have such a pejorative connotation for that word.
Yeah, an autodidact.
Autodidact, I think. Is what you like. You know, Philip Johnson, the architect, said this: Bucky Fuller was no architect, and he kept pretending he was. It was very annoying.
Johnson thought, because he had such trouble figuring out how do you put a door in a geodesic dome, that it shouldn't count as architecture. It should just be something that he fiddled with.
Mm-hmm. But I think Fuller would have embraced that, because for him, it was all about upsetting the status quo. So for him, you know, getting outside the grid and, you know, thinking beyond modernist architecture and to be called something other than an architect was perfectly fine with him. I mean, he called himself a comprehensive anticipatory design scientist.
I know, yeah. No, I have to say, like, his terminology is where I start to lose it with him. And so I was wondering if maybe we could try to compile an on-air glossary of terms, and maybe you can put them into everyday speak, because I have to say that's where I lose it.
Omnidirectional.
That one I know, because this microphone that we're talking into is
omnidirectional.
Exactly. But let's actually, here's the glossary of Fulleries, and I'll just go back and forth between you. Give us the briefest thumbnail definition you can. First of all, of Dymaxion.
Dynamic maximum ion. It's a maximization of a system always in movement.
Okay. A system always in movement. So it's related to 4D. That's what we describe next, yes, 4D?
Well, 4D is the fourth dimension. These are both actually just brands, sort of the way that he tried to label some of his earliest inventions, a way of marketing them.
So it's not just something that exists in space, but also in time, and that he reflects the movement of that thing through time in his design.
Through time and in time, over time.
Over time.
Always connecting systems, even unlike systems, and looking at how they interact.
Okay, we're going to get back to some of those in just a second. Lightfulness. Dana?
Well, lightfulness was his way of describing resource efficiency, creating a work, usually an architectural structure, using the fewest materials. So it was actually something that could be easily transported, carried,
yes,
and unpacked and unfolded. And this all comes back to...
So it has nothing to do with visible light. It's just the burden on, like what we were talking about, the carbon footprint today.
Exactly. And this comes really from his experience in the Navy, you know, thinking about buoyancy and using the fewest materials that you would have to take with you out on a ship for several months at a time, and what you could do to create a more buoyant, you know, boat or ship.
Okay, Michael Hayes, what is synergetic.
when things interact such that the whole is more than the parts.
Okay. So just as we understand synergy today, he was just one of the first people to start using
right.
that word. Got it. Guinea pig B.
He thought of himself as an experiment. His whole life was an experiment. What would could one individual do to benefit all of humanity? And because his name was Buckminster, or actually Richard Buckminster Fuller, but he called himself Guinea Pig B for Guinea Pig
right.
Buckminster.
Right. Bucky, actually. Everybody called him Bucky.
Mm-hmm. All his friends called him Bucky.
Because he was so down to earth? Why?
I think he tried to be down. I think he wanted to be down to earth. I think it was interesting. He appealed to everyone from the military leaders in the 1940s, trying to look at their technology, to the hippies in the 1970s. So, yeah.
He talked about universe, not the universe. Mm-hmm. Universe. Why?
Because he was very particular about certain contractions and felt that the universe was omnipresent and therefore didn't need an article. There was just universe.
Universe. Okay.
He thought like a transcendentalist in some way, that there was some guiding, you know, spirit. But he also was a total technocrat, so
yes.
universe kind of got that too.
Right. And Spaceship Earth is what also he talked about.
Well, this is interesting because now we really do understand the way the butterfly effect, the El Nino, the way things do have global effects. And he understood that early on, and I think Spaceship Earth, but also the responsibility of taking care of Earth like a closed module.
Earlier today, I spoke with John Zogby, the pollster, who described this new generation of kids in their 20s as the first globals. And all of the things that he was mm-hmm. talking about were also the same things that Buckminster Fuller was talking about mm-hmm. in the earlier parts of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. He seemed to have finally come into fruition with this next generation, the mm-hmm. post-Generation X group.
I actually think the younger generation are the ones that are really going to respond and find a new Fuller. His own generation even often thought about him as a tinkerer and an engineer only. And it's really more interesting now that we have concepts, I think, that we can see them differently.
Mm-hmm. So at the time, was the reaction, oh, isn't that cute?
Or isn't that a total crackpot idea?
Yeah. I have to say, I don't think I would want to live in a Dymaxian house. I saw, as it happens, you know this, I'm sure, MoMA is also doing the prefab mm-hmm. house show. And mm-hmm. so a couple of those same designs that are in your show are also over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this, talk about zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have this Dymaxian house, which looks like you see them on rooftops at the tops of the vents, right?
The ventilator.
It looks
yeah.
like a vent.
Yeah, they have one of the Wichita House models in their show, which we also have in our show. And
right.
he was very interested in wind circulation and trying to find a way to heat and air condition a house without using excess electricity.
But he had very little patience for the kind of conventions and customs and the kind of baggage of domestic life. He really insisted that to live in a Dymaxion house or to drive a Dymaxion car, you had to give up some of that sort of baggage of custom. I think that's right. Mm.
But that it would also be drudgery proof. The idea was if you didn't have so many right corners, then you would have less to clean. There wouldn't mm-hmm. be such a, you know, accumulation of dust, and it would free up your time, and you could do, you know, more interesting educational things with your time.
Right.
The other thing I wonder about the house is that he had there was a shower in the Dymaxion house that used only one cup of water that was vaporized. I'm not sure that would go over either.
Many of his ideas never got realized.
He seemed to get very impatient. Once he had developed an idea or developed a project, he seemed to be very impatient with getting it actually into production.
Mm. This is the Leonard Lopate Show, and I'm Dean Ulsher filling in for Leonard today. And today we have the curators, the co-curators of the Buckminster Fuller Show at the Whitney, Dana Miller and Michael Hayes. And I couldn't help but think about this when I was reading the Science Times today, and there was a major story about using technology to correct the environmental damage that mm-hmm. we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dangerous thing because you never know what unforeseen consequences mm-hmm. are going to result. But I wanted to know what Buckminster Fuller would have to say about that.
Well, it's interesting. We often think of ecologically responsible design as something that's kind of using a low-tech approach. And he insisted that we use the most advanced technology to solve ecological problems.
I mean, to the point where he thought that harnessing the powers of technology was the solution to all of humanity's problems.
Right. He called for a worldwide technological revolution.
Sure.
And how did he envision that happening?
That new materials, the constant development of new materials, new processes of distribution, also, but importantly in this advanced technology was how things get disassembled, not only reused, but sort of disassembled and recycled. And again, those were things he thought of very early on that now we take in a way for granted as our responsibility.
A little biographical information. In 1927, he had lost a daughter. He had lost his job. He considered suicide, and instead he decided to become a visionary. And he had some interesting experiences that made him who he was. One of them, Dana Miller, was at Black Mountain College in North Carolina, where he rubbed shoulders with some of the great visionaries of our time.
He was there at sort of the peak of, you know, in the Black Mountain College lore. He was there in the summers of 48 and 49, and Merce Cunningham and John Cage and Joseph Albers, Willem de Kooning, Elaine de Kooning, Ruth Asawa, all of these amazing people were there. And it was really a place that was so suited for Fuller because it was cross-disciplinary. And so Fuller got to engage in all of these different areas and really sort of, you know, absorb as much as he could from all of the people around him.
Was he, in fact, an easy person to know? I mean, I get the sense from people who wrote about him that he would go on for hours. He would speechify. Yes?
Well, the story is that it was at Black Mountain College where he learned to sort of become what we now think of as a performance artist, right? And I think some of his so-called lectures were really performances. But I think he enjoyed listening to himself talk, but I think there was also a genuine enthusiasm and a genuine spirit of an educator that was very real. Apparently, we've had people who were students of his tell us that he was, you know, he would walk into a room and everybody in the room would be inspired just by his sort of charisma.
Now, I promised some talk of the tetrahedron, which was the fundamental building block, right, for him. Everything came down to that, and the geodesic dome was for him a reflection of nature's most basic processes, right?
He felt that we had been really misguided in using the square or the cube as the basic structure for our architecture, and that if we just looked at nature's patterns, we could build more structurally sound, more beautiful, more efficient structures. And the basis of that was the tetrahedron or the triangle.
So Buckminster Fuller is having his day. There's going to be a symposium, yes? September 12th at Cooper Union?
12th and 13th.
And that's in connection with this show that's happening at the Whitney Museum of American Art, which is on display through the 21st, right?
Of September.
Michael Hayes and Dana Miller are two of the curators of that show at the Whitney. Thanks so much for being here on the Leonard LoPate Show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
If you want to, you can check out more information about it on our show page, which is at wnyc.org.